Ricky. The number of whales that you'd like to save, you talk about a significant reduction. What kind of numbers are we talking about?
We're talking about a big reduction in the total number of whales killed compared with now. Or, if we look at it from a quota point of view, at the moment, the number of whales for which quotas have been issued are more than 3,000. That should be halved. And indeed, that may not be low enough in some places at some times for some stocks.
This seems like a big ask for New Zealand, because if we're talking about halving that, we're talking about 1,500 whales. That still does seem like a huge number of whales who are being killed here. Do you think it is a tough buying?
There are a huge number of whales being killed now, and there are 1,600 whales being killed now that are being sold commercially. There are about another 400 that are being killed under Aboriginal subsistence whaling, which New Zealand has always supported. Those are the Inuits of Alaska, Chukotka, and Greenland, where those indigenous peoples kill whales, and they get quotas from the International Whaling Commission to do so. Now, I mean, the problem here is that there is no effective international control over the number of whales that are being killed. If that could be secured, that would be very good. An emotional attachment to a moratorium that isn't working is not, in my view, realistic.
We do have a very emotional attachment as New Zealanders. Do you think that's playing, or how much do you think that's playing into all of this?
Well, I've been the Whaling Commissioner for 8 years, and it's the only issue I've ever been involved in where people at the golf club say, now, what are you doing to the Japanese this week? You know, I mean, there's a great deal of unhappiness in New Zealand about killing whales, and that's true of other public opinions in many countries. But the truth of the matter is that not all cultures or all nations see that issue the same way. And because of that, you have to arrive at an international accommodation under a treaty arrangement. We have a treaty, it's defective. Over time, we think it could be fixed. But you can't fix it immediately because these differences are very great. We cannot, in New Zealand, afford to see the end of the International Whaling Commission, because if it comes to an end, there will be no international instrument for protecting the whales, and whales are migratory. They don't stay in one place. They swim vast miles into other people's territory, through the high seas and everywhere, and they are really, it really is an international question.
How big a risk do you see there actually being an end to the IWC that it comes part of the seams?
I think there's a big risk of that, and I don't relish it.
How confident are you that you can get the numbers to take and actually begin this negotiation? At the moment you've got no numbers, but how confident are you that you think that this is something that could really happen?
I think it could happen if we get the right numbers. I'm not confident we'll get the right numbers. I'm confident we'll get some numbers.
But if you don't get the right numbers, as you were saying, there's no point in taking
it's dead
this
as a dodo.
Hey, can I just be clear on this point? The government hasn't given any mandate to Sir Geoffrey and our negotiators to do anything other than more than secure the best numbers they can so that we can have a look at them if it's worth it. Our objective is to eliminate whaling, and specifically to eliminate whaling in the Southern Ocean. We want to try and make genuine progress in that direction if it's achievable. The alternatives, as Sir Geoffrey has described them, are very much worse, and so we're taking a patient and careful approach to playing this thing out. We'll know in the next few weeks whether there is going to be something worth looking at, and we'll share it with New Zealanders if it does emerge. It was always a longer shot that we were going to see something worthwhile to look at. The fact that the process is ongoing is good news, but I wouldn't want people to imagine that we are confident that there will be an attractive set of numbers come forward, and if they don't, there won't be anything to discuss.
If something is reached an agreement, politically, how tough a sell do you think it will be?
Well, the point I make is that if some numbers come from the process that Sir Geoffrey is running that are worth considering, in other words, if it means a substantial reduction immediately, and the prospect of elimination of whaling in a reasonable period of time, then we obviously have a responsibility to look at it. We'll tell the New Zealand public what the proposition is, and I'm, as the Minister, keen to share the pain of that decision-making process as widely as possible. It's a difficult decision that New Zealanders will have to make if we are lucky enough to get something on the table.
Isn't it extraordinary for New Zealanders that the government is saying, look, you can kill this number of whales, even if it is a much greater or a much less number than we're doing at the moment?
Well, we're not. Our position is that we're completely opposed to whaling, particularly opposed to whaling in the Southern Ocean. And Sir Geoffrey has just described how we are dealing with a process where the numbers have shot up dramatically in recent years. We want to stop that, and we'll use the diplomatic process that's available to achieve that. All of the alternatives to conducting these discussions are truly awkward.
Minister, you say you're keen to share the pain of discussing that proposal, but Greenpeace, they're just going to say no. All of those organisations have already come out and said that they're not happy. They just want zero. They want no kills.
Yeah, and that's a very easy position to adopt, and New Zealanders can adopt that position. If they're given a choice of what is what is happening now and some very significant cut leading to the elimination of whaling, my guess is they'd want to think about it. Sir Geoffrey's brief is to come back with something that is sufficiently attractive to provide that difficult proposition for New Zealand to think about. I've always thought that it's unlikely that numbers that are good enough to think about will emerge. But the fact that the discussions are ongoing is positive news, even though, as we've heard, it's a tortuous process.
Isn't there a problem with the symbolism of this, that objectors will see that it legitimises whaling, where previously it's not, or at the moment it's not, and that...
Well, you see, that proposition isn't right. Whaling has never been unlawful.
Yes, that you're going to allow Japan and... proposition would allow this country to take a certain amount.
They're taking more than that, no?
Yes, but it does legitimise it to some extent.
Well, it seems to me that it controls it, which is the way I would put it. You see, you can spin these things any way you like, but the raw facts are what matters. And the raw facts are how many whales are being killed and by whom, and how many whales will be killed in the future and by whom.
But I understand the point you're making about the symbolism of embracing a deal that would involve acceptance of even a reduction. And that's certainly something that we want to think about and something the New Zealand public will have a view about.
The public too will be suspicious, won't they, that Japan, if you give Japan an inch, it will take a mile, and that it will find a way around this proposal as well.
Well, it's very difficult to see how they could find a way around it if it was internationally controlled by an agreement to which they were parties. That would be an accusation of bad faith against them, and I don't think that is warranted on the basis of their conduct in these negotiations so far.
So you're confident it would be tough enough to control?
Would have to be tough enough, or we wouldn't go into it.
But you see their goodwill as such that they're not going to renounce the treaty at some point altogether?
I think that it's possible that they will agree over time to significant changes in the treaty, but we can't see into the future. In order to make progress, you have to make some progress to reach some sort of agreement, and that creates a platform of trust where you can move on to a wider and more comprehensive agreement. This has been a fraught subject for much more than 20 years, and it is really a bit of a boil on the international body politic that needs to be lanced.
The other thing I'd note is that the agreement is that if you take whales under this arrangement, you don't take them any other way, and it's supplemented with monitoring and supervision requirements of the same sort that apply a fisheries agreement. So the chances of that kind of working around the agreement are really not...
There's even DNA stuff in this agreement, all sorts of checks and balances of that sort.
But you talk about a balance of trust with Japan wandering around with an alternative treaty as a backstop position. Isn't it hard to have faith in their position, given what they're doing?
My view of it is that they have a problem and we have a problem. and that the equitable accommodation of interests at the international level requires some diplomatic adjustment of those problems to see if there is common ground to be found. Now, there may not be. I have not said anything to say that I assume these negotiations will succeed, or that indeed that there will be anything for Mr. McCulley to consider. There may not be. But the point about it is that this has been a lengthy 2-year diplomatic negotiation of some complexity, of a type that has not occurred in the International Whaling Commission before, and it is a great opportunity. And if it is lost, while the consequences are to some degree unforeseeable, they are very unlikely to be satisfactory.
A 2-year negotiation of complexity. How long have you got left? I mean, you're coming up to this June meeting.
Yeah.
What's the deadlines here?
The deadline is in effect for an effective an amendment to be proposed is the 22nd of April, but actually it's the meeting at Agadir, when all the members of the Whaling Commission will be there and when voting and debate will take place, that is the D-Day for anything.
How would you rate the likelihood of you reaching the intention?
I don't think I would rate it at this juncture. So it's an iterative process and I have to follow its iterations remorselessly until the end, if any end there be.
You might not be a betting man, but you're the sports minister. You must be a betting man.
I've made it clear, I think the odds of something attractive enough to look at have always been long. This is, as we've heard this morning, a very difficult and fraught process, and only a wild-eyed optimist would say that we're going to emerge with something that will truly test us in terms of a proposition. But the good news is that parties that have had terrible differences over this over many years have been able to sit in a room, chaired by Sir Geoffrey, and talk about both a piece of architecture and the prospect of some numbers that would leave us significantly better off if it can be done. The fact that the discussion is still going on is good news. I'm not going to pull the plug on it myself. I want to give our people every possible encouragement to see whether we can make a giant breakthrough. But let's be realistic, the chances of that have never been high. But we owe it to ourselves because the alternatives are so much worse. To play it through.
The fact that there is still talk going on, and also the fact that you're prepared to talk about it publicly in a very open way, should we be reading in that perhaps the odds have been getting a little bit shorter and we're feeling a little bit more optimistic?
The fact that people are still sitting in the same room and having discussions is miraculous.
If Australia
decide
the numbers of whales that you're hoping for, how many whales countries would you actually
Well, there was quite a long discussion from more than 30 nations who were represented at the meetings we had in Florida, and there was a lot of support for this going on. In fact, the paper that has come out is being published today by the International Whaling Commission. The report of the special working group on that meeting should be available on the IWC website today, and you'll be able to see the nature of those discussions and what was said. The NGOs took part in them as well. I mean, this has been, we decided when this was set up that it needed to be an open process or you would just get feelings of paranoia and schizophrenia, and these things were not good.
So, Geoffrey, is there any prospect that any deal could include an end-to-whaling in the Southern Ocean or some whaling in the Southern Ocean?
Well, certainly that prospect has been argued for most vociferously in the meetings that I've chaired.
What do you make of Australia's take-a-lead approach?
I don't like to characterise Australia's position. Australia has its own difficulties on this issue. They had a royal commission many years ago, which recommended an end to commercial whaling, and they have followed that religiously. Their position has been in favour of litigation because they don't believe that what has been going on is fair or authorised by the law. We think there are difficulties about all of that, but we share Australia's objectives almost completely.
The perception is they're taking a harder line on that. Do you disagree with that?
Well, that may be the perception, but it doesn't see, they are still involved in these negotiations, they are attending them and they are producing arguments at them, so I don't quite understand. I should say that Gerard van Bohemen has been leading the New Zealand delegation at these talks because I've been chairing them, and it's not appropriate for me to speak for New Zealand and at the same time, but I can say that his interventions have been very vigorous as well.
Do you think it's got anything to do with Australia having an election this year?
I do.
You said that now that the current administration over in the States is supportive of this as well, and that this is part of the reason why now is the time when something needs to be done. Could you just outline that a little bit?
Yes. The new Democratic administration under the new Whaling Commissioner for the United States, Monica Medina, has been extremely active and extremely inclusive of all countries in reaching out to try and have discussions, to find out what common ground can be made, to do work, to actually draft much of the agreement that you've seen that is published on the website, and they, their interest and leadership in this has been a very important element, and I cannot overstress that too much.
Now, Chris Carter actually sent out on a blog, I think, something that was intimating that you were embarrassed by this position.
Yes, I have read that. Can I say that it is entirely, completely and utterly wrong?
So you're supportive of everything that you're saying?
Yes, and the process hasn't altered since we've been since the government has changed, and I do not think it's acceptable for officials to be impugned in that way, who are loyal officials. I know them all. They are completely supportive of this process, and what has been said about them isn't correct, and they can't answer for themselves.
Minister, have you got anything about this kind of statement on this blog?
I think Sir Jeffrey has explained the factual position. I'm happy to leave it there. This is an important process. The one thing that has changed since the National Government came to office is that we were asked to support Sir Jeffrey moving into the leadership role of the support group discussions where the real business was going to be done. So we endorsed that proposition and undertook to resource his activities there, which I'm pleased we did. He's managed to give that process its best possible shot of flying. I think it's best that we try and take some of the domestic politics out of this issue while we see whether we are able for the first time to get something on the table that gives us a difficult decision to make.
And until you even have that difficult decision, as you're saying, you might not even have a decision to make.
Well, look, the odds have always been that Sir Jeffrey would ring up one day and say, look, I just can't get anything worthwhile to put in front of the government. I don't think there's anywhere else for us to go. History says that's the most likely outcome. But we've seen a process that has defied history by keeping alive and by keeping some parties that haven't been able to deal with each other constructively engaged properly. So we owe it to ourselves to play that out, and we're going to do that, and I don't think that getting diverted with domestic political squabbling is going to upset anyone's interest. The one assurance I'll give you is that if we do get a proposition to consider, I'll be sharing that with the New Zealand public very quickly. I've made sure that ministers have been briefed with all of the considerations so that they can, when that narrow window arises, if it ever does, can give it immediate thought, but we'll make sure the New Zealand public are able to form their own view. It's an emotive issue, but it's also one where people will want to think about the pragmatic and practical side of it as well. And if we do get there, I can give you an assurance that we'll be sharing the pain with as many people as possible.
So, Geoffrey, what gives you confidence in your dealings with the Japanese so far that they're simply not being duplicitous?
I've had fairly high-level discussions with the people involved in this over quite a few years now. I really don't believe that they are acting in a duplicitous way. I can see no percentage in that for them. And I can see no real motivation for it in the context that we're in, given the fact that they have very large capital investments to have to be made quite soon, and given the fact that this is a very expensive operation for them to sustain, and given the fact that the taste for whale meat seems to be reducing amongst the Japanese population generally and amongst the young people in particular.
But they do have strong support still in the IWC.
They do. And that is the result of a lot of attention that they lavish on those countries. And the reason for that is that many of the developing countries in this world support the Japanese view about sustainable resources and the exploitation of them. It tends to be European and Western countries that are against that. There are some quite big pockets of genuine support in Africa, in the Caribbean, and even in the Pacific, for the views that they espouse on resource diplomacy.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I think that probably minds it. Thank you very much.